Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, everybody. We're the Real Nerd Podcast, and every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week we saw Long Legs. Stay tuned and we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil the movie. We'll also talk about films we've watched, any movie news that's come up that's of interest. We're a movie podcast, Brad, and we've been doing this for 13 years.
And we told everyone at the convention that we are the best movie podcast, and we have had a hard time keeping up with it this summer. I tell you what, mostly my fault. I've been super busy, and yeah, it is not
well. It's not a good look. Well, I just want to assure our fans we are still recording episodes. It seems like everything just from the middle of June to July 12th, where we're at right now at this very moment, it feels like getting caught up is just not in the cards. You know what I mean?
Dude, every week is like some new crisis that I have to deal with. And I just can't.
Sucks.
Yeah. Like every time I think I have a week off to like edit these, like it's like, oh, this theater's closing or something. It's just like, oh, now I gotta go deal with that. Or like the 48 hours coming up, so I gotta prepare for this. Or work's got some kind of major project that just like springs up and like I gotta deal with that. And it's like all the, you know, when the year started, I was like, man, I better start like inventing things for me to do so that I like don't lose my mind. And all of a sudden summer hits and like every week's got something I gotta do. Yeah. So
I know it's been quite the summer. I feel like I'm playing catch up constantly.
Yeah.
Because my real job, there was a time when I worked like 15 out of 17 days. And then my only time off was the convention that was just last week, mind you.
Yeah.
But you know, we still work the whole time we're at the convention. And, which you should hear our panel here really soon. Our successful panel that happened just last week. So that should be fun. I'm in the same boat. I feel like I run out of time every day. But I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. You know, I feel like I'm behind.
Yeah. I don't know where back in the day when I did so many like creative projects, I'm like, where did I find the time to fit this into my day? Cause like I can do like one thing a day now. I don't know what it is. Like I can only focus on like one project at a time. It's yeah. I don't know.
It's insane. Yeah, I don't have an answer for you either. I haven't watched very many movies this summer. Besides the ones that are coming out in theaters, but I've been playing like video games because my brain is just not functioning at a high level right now.
That's
I don't know.
Really, not a great. That's not something I want to hear out of cop's mouth.
Oh no!
Please be at your best all the time, man.
No, I'm talking about when I'm at home.
Okay.
Yeah, no, not.
Yeah, you're so focused on your job and excelling at it that your home life is deficient.
Yeah, so that's where we're at. Man, and in 2 weeks, Brad, you got the 48-hour film festival that we completely forgot about. So I hope you get enough rest in 2 weeks.
I don't think I'm going to
get ready for it.
Like, it's, you know, the you know, we just had this crazy weekend and all the weeks building that shit for it. And then like this next week, I'm helping the Esquire like move out. So like I'm gonna be exhausted from that. And then, yeah, I'm sure work will throw something at me and then that week will be gone. And then I'll be doing the 48 like by the seat of my pants. And
I mean, the only thing that would be worth is if you got like a musical for the 40-hour film festival. That's the one project I know you don't want.
That's the one project nobody wants, like not just me. Like it's so hard to do. So,
yeah. So I hope you don't get that because that'd be horrible.
Yeah, I'd like to get comedy again for like a third time. That'd be so much easier. So yeah, musical. Yeah. Definitely don't want a musical. Like, I'm not musically inclined. What would I do? Okay.
That's what I mean. I don't even know. So hopefully that's what you don't get, and try to pull it off. You know what I mean?
I guess I could reach out to Robert. But like, you know, he's got stuff he has to do. He can't just invent a musical in 3 days, like without me like preparing him for it.
Yeah. So fingers crossed that doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
We'll see. But this week on Real Nerds, we saw the movie Long Legs. Brad, did you recommend the film Long Legs?
No. I mean, it looked good. Going in, I was excited, but I feel like Micah Monroe's character is like, how does she get that job? She seems like a terrible agent, other than that she has special powers. And all I could think about for Long Legs himself was just like sexy Michael Starr, so not scary. I was just bored most of it, just waiting for something super cool to happen. And like,
go ahead. No, you can finish. Sorry.
I was just thinking, like, it's a movie with, like, the only parts that, like, freaked me out were the, like, deliberate jump scares. So I'm interested to hear your take on it, because you hate that.
Yeah, I'm never a fan of jump scares, but I actually like this film. I think it will play really well with Mommy's Daddy. I thought it had a nice mood to it. I really like Oz Perkins. His films, though, definitely have their own vibe to them, and they're always usually there's a very slow build-up, whether it's Gretel and Hansel or The Black Coat's Daughter. He's very deliberate in how he presents his films. And I had a lot of fun. And, yeah, there's some interesting things in this film. Here's the trailer for Long Legs.
Is it scary being a lady FBI agent?
Yeah.
Take a nice long look. The letter was left with the bodies. Sign of one word.
I saw a beast rise up out of the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns he wore 10 crowns. On each head was written a blasphemous name.
What aren't you telling me?
He'll kill and kill again.
I know you're not afraid of a little bit of dark. Because you are the dark.
Do you still say your prayers? Never once. They scared me.
Hello?
You could have made nice with me. But you didn't. And that has led to all. I'll be
waiting.
Long Legs is a film that is a serial killer FBI thriller that takes place in the 90s, I think, or does it take place now? I can't tell.
It was the 90s. I forget. There's something on the bulletin board with like the yarn connecting the clues thing that gave it away.
Yeah. Agent Lee Harker the opening scene is they're getting sworn in, or maybe not sworn in, but they're having a debrief about canvassing a neighborhood looking for a killer. And she goes out with her new partner and he gets smoked right away.
Yeah.
She senses that the bad guy's in this one townhome.
Yeah. She's like, you should check it out. And he's like, whatever. It's totally fine. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Whatever.
At that point,
you stay behind.
At that point, like I was in, it's like, oh wow, this movie's hardcore.
Yeah. And then it, most Oz Perkins movies, it slows way down. it's a lot to do with, Micah Moreau's childhood and the traumas that she's endured, to get to where she's at. And they're on the trail of this serial killer that's been missing, or I guess missing is not the right word, who's been inactive for a while, where he isn't at the crime scenes, but he influences people to commit these acts of violence. And usually it's a murder-suicide where it's a family of, a mom and then the kids, and then the dad ends up killing himself. So they're trying to get to the bottom of why these killings are happening. And as you do that, you slowly learn about Nick Cage's character, Long Legs. And I forget his name in the movie, though. They do say it, his actual name.
I remember.
Yeah, and basically it's her investigation trying to find him, and she has this alleged power of being able to foresee what's happening, but we soon learn that it's actually not a power. She just her mom, played by Alicia Witt, is, when we meet her, she seems just like a hoarder and has some sort of mental health disorder, and we learn that Long Legs actually lives in her mom's house basement, and she was going to be a victim of Long Legs, her and her daughter, but the mom makes a deal with the devil, literally, and brings these specially made toys to homes, and these toys have the devil deep down in their heart. Where? Deep down in their heart. And it basically hypnotizes or
possesses them.
Mesmerized, I don't know what you do, to kill each other's families. And the doll's brought there by someone they trust, where Harker's mom is dressed up like a nun, and it's a gift from the church. And then that's how it plays out. Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was, again, I like Oz Perkins, but he's definitely has a unique way of making film, and it's not everybody's cup of tea.
I mean, it's pretty close to A24 style for me.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, there's just long stretches where like not much happens, and it's broken up by it's like, oh, we're going to flash something on the screen just to like freak you out, which I love when I'm like half asleep.
Yeah, I'm never a fan of jump scares because to me it's like lazy horror filmmaking, because it's just, oh, this is what's going to happen. I'm usually so what's the word I'm looking for? Trained in horror films, I could usually see them coming a mile away. But you know, I could be wrong too. Because I mean, it's just my thing with jump scares. Yeah.
You asking me a question?
I'm just rambling because I'm trying to explain why I'm not a fan of jump scares.
Yeah. So yeah, then there's the ending where like she figures out that her mom is involved, and then she tracks her down, and like her mom has gone to her like agent boss's party, which, you know, they set up that scene so early in the movie. I was like, I know where this is going.
That ending was not shocking.
Yeah, but like she knows what's going to happen, and she just stands there while the husband takes his wife into the kitchen and murders her, and then she waits, and then she decides to shoot the doll. Like that's what she, like, it took her that long to get to that point.
I don't know. Like, I guess if I'm making excuses for her and the script, I think she doesn't believe that it's going to happen.
I guess, but like,
I mean, even though I guess she saw her mom waste that agent in the car.
Yeah. And like when she was out in the backyard or whatever with like the doll that looked like her and like all the like black smoke comes out of it, like she saw something supernatural happen. So I don't know why she's waiting.
Yeah. Well, my wife liked the movie, but she didn't like that Micah Monroe had fillers in her cheeks. Because okay. she was already pretty and she didn't need it. I didn't notice it, but you know.
Me neither.
But what do I know? Nothing. So
girls are always objectifying other girls.
I know. Get the program, ladies.
Just reducing them to their looks.
I know.
I was invested in the fact that who the fuck hired this girl to be an FBI agent? She clearly messed up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't seem like she can do her job very well. Like, she's only good for having, like, a sixth sense. You know, she should just be a consultant.
It's an interesting character because the character is depressed throughout the whole movie. And, I mean, you can tell that she's smart.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I get it. I liked it, though.
Yeah, like, where in her life did she go from, like, being, I don't know, sort of, like, too mothered by her mom to, like, the FBI? Like, what was her, like, school ambitious track to, like, that's where I'm going to be an agent? Like, I don't know. I don't make the connection.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't make sense to me. Like, Agent Starling from Silence of the Lambs clearly has a drive to do it and is, like, on the ball. But, like, Lee Harker is just, like, so aloof and what's going on? And I feel things. And like, I don't, like, definitely don't want her investigating anything.
Yeah, it's definitely a crazy Nick Cage performance too. The screaming of that, you know, mom, when he bashes his face in like the table and kills himself.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
That was nuts. Like every time he's on screen, like it feels tense. Like as soon as the opening happens, where like. Like they never show his eyes, it's just his mouth, and like it's got the 3-4-3 ratio and everything, like all that was cool, like really set up like this good tension. And then he goes to that like gas station and sort of like I guess flirts with that girl or something.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Yeah, and that's like you suddenly realize like, oh, she's done this 4 or 5 times before with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's over his shit, and then he just drives away.
It is funny because he does kind of look like Michael Starr.
He didn't get that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all. Yeah. I was like, oh, I thought they were going to hide this guy, but no, he's in the first part of this movie. And like, yeah, you know that like that's Lee Harker in that prologue. But I do like all those aesthetic touches of like the, like when it goes from the 4-3 frame and like expands to modern day. Like, that was good. Like the actual framed expands.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. And there's a couple like, you know,
oh yeah, I think it's shot really well. The cinematography is really good in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the overall soft focus and stuff.
But yeah, the overall story of just like oh, Long Legs is like this doll maker who like imbues the dolls with the devil's spirit. I was like, oh, cool. All right. Feels like I've seen it. Feels like I've seen this before. Can't pinpoint where, but yeah. And then, yeah, Lee Harker's just like inept, like stopping him. I just can't get over She made such an effort to like rush over to save the little girl at her birthday party. And then she just gets there and she's like, what's going on? Like, I'm just going to look around the room and like, oh, there you go. I know he's taking the mom back to kill her, but I'm going to shoot this doll first.
That was an unusual scene though. The lady, the mom, is an incredible actress in that scene. In so much that you can tell she's scared, but she's under the trance of the devil. And so she has this duality in her role that she's playing where she's smiling and scared at the same time. I thought it was really cool watching it.
Yeah, it's super weird, but yeah, the way like he reacts, I'm just like, no one else thinks this is odd. I had a cat of character. I guess they're possessed, but whatever.
Yeah, but it's a hit, man. It's quite the hit.
Yeah.
But that's good. Man, I lost my paper that had movie news for this week of July 12th or the 16th, so I ain't got anything unless you remember something from earlier in the week of July 12th, Brad.
I don't.
I mean, next week's going to be huge because Comic-Con's happening, so.
Yeah, so we can just go straight to what we've been watching and save, all the cool stuff for next week when it happens, right?
Cool.
We can make up for it.
Sounds good.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Couple things. Mostly old stuff, so I'm not going to talk about it, but one movie that some people turned me on to, it's called Greener Grass. Have you ever seen it or heard of it?
No, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
So in 2019, like I remember it coming out to theaters and I wanted to see it, but I missed it. It was like in the Mayan for like a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the posters really like get you, because it's like this pink poster with like this smile with braces on it. And there's like, I don't know, a suburban woman's body underneath it. Like you can't see her face, but like, yeah, it just seems like indie weird, right?
Yeah.
When you dig into it, it's like this comedy that's like edited like a horror film. I guess my best description of it is it's something like, if there's a short version of it, it would be perfect for Adult Swim. Like, I think the most famous people in it are Beck Bennett from SNL, and then Neil Casey, who was like the villain in the Lady Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
So they're each husbands of these, the two stars are women, who like, they're just suburban soccer moms, and they're all kind of like passive aggressively competing with the other families, in this, ideal neighborhood. But like, so all the adults have braces, and then like, one of the first scenes is like, there's this backyard cookout and their husbands are like talking to each other. And then they give like each of their wives like a kiss, like a long, gross, like, salivy kiss, like really close up stuff. And then when they're done, they're like, oh, wait, you're not my husband. And they like switch husbands. And like,
weird.
Yeah. And like later in the movie, the main girl, I forget what her name is, Jill, I think. They have this son that's kind of like on the spectrum. And so, like the dad, Beck Bennett's, the dad, he like really wants him to be involved in soccer and sports and like excel, but his son's terrible at it. And then like later in the movie, once like the kid's like really off the rails, the kid gives up and just like collapses into a pool and reemerges as a Labrador. And everyone's like our son is a dog now. And then after that, like, they just treat him like he's still their son, but just a dog. So when he starts playing sports and like the mom objects to it, that Ed's like, why do you want to stop this? He's super fast now. Like,
wait, what the fuck are you?
The movie's just like so insane. I forget, like, the opening scene is the two lead wives. They're talking to each other. Like, the one of them just had a baby, and the other one's like, oh, I'm really jealous of your baby. And then the other one's like, well, you can have it. So she like offers it over, and like the other wife basically adopts it. And then like later in the movie, when you know, her son is now a dog, she goes back to that other wife and says, like, so I was thinking that, you know, maybe since my my other son is a dog now, maybe I could have my baby back. Like, it's just like weird shit like that.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're special, man.
it's just nonsense. Like, it's, and like the whole mood the whole time is almost like a horror movie. You know, it's just like these long, slow pans of things and like extended takes of stuff before it cuts, and just like longing looks from people to each other with like haunting music. But I promise it's funny. It's so funny. So yeah, check out Greener Grass. Yeah, it was based on a short, and I guess it evolved into a full length movie. And yeah, it's really about like just how this idyllic suburban setting really isn't all it's cracked up to be. And there's like very niche humor about it. Like I said, the whole movie, you're like, why are all the adults wearing braces and stuff? And yeah, like the teachers, everybody. Yeah. There's just like, you know, it's just like random lines, like, what's like one of the teachers is saying something, and then one of the kids in the class says, like, your mom. And then the teacher goes, like, that's right, my mom. Like, she's involved in some historical thing. Yeah. I don't know. I can't do it justice. Trust me, it is funny. I bought it.
Sure. I'll take your word for it.
It's weird, funny. Like I said, I bought it as soon as I could from Shout Factory. So, but I don't know where it is to rent. But yeah, it was a blast. I was so surprised. So yeah, that's it for me. What'd you watch?
Did I talk about Despicable Me 4 last week?
No. We were supposed to make it like our main thing, but I forget what happened.
Yeah. Because it came out the same week as Maxine, but I couldn't remember when I saw it because, you know, I blocked it out of my mind. And
now you're bringing it up?
Yeah. Because I couldn't remember if I saw it this week because we are totally recording it the week of July 12th.
But it's been haunting you so much that you have to get it out now.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, so in it, Gru is, it's funny because I don't know when the last Despicable Me came out, but it's been a long time. I think there's been like two Minion movies in between.
Yeah, they pivoted just like Minion-centric movies for a while.
Yeah, so I couldn't remember anything from Despicable Me 3. The only thing I remember is Trey Parker was the bad guy.
Oh shit! But I couldn't. Yeah.
yeah, but I couldn't tell you what his plot was, what happened in it. I have no idea. You know, because I have a 9-year-old boy, he really wanted to see it. And it's one of those things, it's like, okay, whatever, I'll see it. And, you know, I said, you know, maybe it's funny. You know, maybe I'll have a good time. And wow, it was weird because I saw it at the Alamo and I was wondering why they're showing Fantastic Four stuff before, like in the pre-show, the Marvel superhero team. And I said, man, why are they showing so much Fantastic Four stuff? I don't understand what's going on. Cut to Despicable Me 4. Gru is now part of the people that catch the bad guys. I guess at the end of the third one, he joined the anti-Supervillain League. I don't remember again. So I don't know. He goes to this class reunion and he meets, or he rekindles his, I don't know what you call it, rivalry with Will Ferrell's French villain guy. And Will Ferrell's French villain guy loves cockroaches, so he's a cockroach human hybrid. And he ends up being captured by Gru, and then he escapes. And when he escapes, Gru has to go into witness protection, and he only takes a couple of the minions with him, and the other ones go to the fucking place, I don't even remember what it's called, and they're all given superpowers, and it's four of them, so it's the Fantastic Four. So I go, oh, this is why this is in here. But it's fucking garbage, because it's not funny. It's really sporadic, and the script is paper thin. It's basically they're in, witness protection, and then it cuts to the minions for about 10 minutes, and the minion stuff seems like a Pixar short, they'd show before a Pixar movie, and then it cuts back to the real movie. The only part that I liked is Stephen Colbert plays Gru's like snotty neighbor, and he's kind of funny in it. The rest of the movie is just garbage. It's well animated. It looks nice. But yeah.
But it made you question your love for your son.
Like... yeah. I made him walk home from Westminster. So. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
That's good parenting right there.
Fucking A, it is. Yeah.
Well, son, this is terrible. And yeah. I'm going to need you to, as punishment, you're going to walk yourself back to Idaho Springs yourself.
Please. Thank you. Thank you, son.
I need time alone to process this travesty.
So, yeah, I did not like that movie. It was not fun.
Yeah, I think I've only ever seen like a Minions movie. I haven't seen like any of the Despicable Me's as far as I know.
They're not like the first one's actually pretty fun. I'll have to watch them again. I haven't seen them in a long time. I might remember them being fun and they not being fun at all. It's always my problem I have, whether it's Shrek movies or, Despicable Me movies, because you'll never guess what happens at the end of this movie. They play a pop song and everybody dances to it. It's the biggest cop out in all these non-Pixar movies that there ever is. Every single one has, the Shrek Believer song, but just take a different pop song and have everybody dance to it.
Yep.
Just creatively void. Yep. And that's all I watched this week because I'm a glutton for punishment. Next week, we're seeing Twisters with If You Can Feel It, You Can Chase It, or whatever he says. So that's what we're doing.
Right on.
Yeah. That's all I got. Unless you got anything else before we don't talk for a week.
No. Got some movies to watch. I'm going to focus on that.
Cool. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!